It's time to begin our service this evening. First of all, there was a small pen found in the ladies' restroom. It'll be up here if you lost one of those. I don't want to see any guys claiming it either. We're going to use number 78 in the Christmas book for our opening song. Let's stand and sing number 78, please. Would you kneel with me in prayer, please? Our kind Heavenly Father, we come before Thee once again this day, praising Your holy name. We pray, Father, that Thy Spirit would be with us here in this service, that You would bless the mind and the thoughts of our speaker this hour, that he might be led and guided and directed by Thee, and that we might be receptive to those things that he would bring to us. I pray for the many who are meeting in like manner this day. Ask that Your blessing would be upon each one of them and upon each one of Your children throughout the world. We pray for our brothers and sisters everywhere in foreign lands. I pray for those who are sick and afflicted and who stand in need. And we do pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. For our second song, we have a special this evening. Thank you, ladies. Now I'd like to ask each of you for your careful and your prayerful attention for our brother Gordon.
Good evening. It's good to see each one of you here tonight. I know there was, I was talking with Brian, he said he was kind of tired tonight. And I was thinking that I might would like to have like a kind of like a Sunday school tonight where we can have a little class participation. You know, it's not an odd thing for me. I like to do that sometimes in the night or in the evening service because I feel that in certain subjects I think our participation would be helpful as I present those thoughts that I believe that the Lord has helped me to have. Tonight is a big subject. It's something that I hope you all are fairly familiar with. It's nothing that we're going to be able to resolve tonight. It's something that we need to think about and really to try and connect the dots with some of the things that are going on in our church today. The topic tonight is Zion. Now, I know when I said that word Zion, that there were some things that came to your mind. You know, there's, as those of you that have been here for a long time, like Meredith, and she remembers all the scores of sermons that were pounded on her from when she was a little girl all the way up to this day. And then the newer ones, the new children and young adults who have heard only in a small span of time concerning Zion. And I don't know about you, but there's a lot of things that are unanswered, you know, when I think about Zion. But the Lord is helping me to understand a little bit more and try to put it in a perspective based on those things that we see are going, that is occurring in our church today. And hopefully I'll be able to point some of those things out, and maybe we can, it will help your study when you're thinking about Zion as to how it all comes together. I want you to share with me some of your thoughts. What are some of the things that come to your mind when you hear that word Zion? See, now think it in terms of you're going to share your belief with other people, okay? So what is it? Like you say, I believe in Zion. Right. You know, well, what does that mean? What is it to you? What are you going to share with somebody when you say, I believe in Zion? Do I have a volunteer? What is the first thing that comes in your mind? Yes, Mary. A condition of righteousness? Okay. Now I've had time to write this down. Has anybody else got another thought? Yes. A place. That's good. A place. A place? Did I give you a... Huh? Who said that? Okay. Yeah, let's just put... Yeah, two places, right? I think we can... We endeavor to support that thought, right? Two places? Okay. What else comes to mind when you think about Zion? A refuge? Ooh, Jenny, you're helpful tonight. Refuge. Okay. What else? Yes.
Pure in heart.
Huh?
Pure in heart.
Pure in heart? Okay, that would be, I think that would come up here. Pure in heart. What else? When you think about Zion, nothing else? City built to the Lord. Ah, good job. City built unto the Lord. Okay. I think you could probably think of some of the scriptures that will tie all those things together, doesn't it? Huh? A place of peace? Would that go along with refuge, kind of? Yeah? What else? Why would it be a place of peace? I guess it would be my question. Who's going to be there? Ah, yeah, all this is going to happen, and his promise is what? That the Lord will be with us, right? Will be with us. Okay. That's one of the reasons why it'll be a refuge and a place of peace, yes, Warren. All things common. That's the teaching in our church, isn't it? All things common. That's a big topic. Any others? You've really done well. There's a lot of things in there. One of the things that I found that was kind of stressed in my heart and mind was some of the events that were taking place in our church. And things that are going on in the world. It's interesting also that just like the last time I was able to stand before you and presented a sermon, there were things that we had studied in Sunday school that was pertinent to my topic. And again, Glenn, so you know that it is of no avail, tonight's another one of those things where really there's a type of what we studied about this morning that we talked about that is part of what is what has taken place in our day and age, or will be, concerning Zion and New Jerusalem. And I'll go over that a little bit. In the Book of Commandments, on page 87, I don't know if those of you that have your Book of Commandments, there's some verses of Scripture here that are very important to us, which talks about Zion. And it starts on verse 59, on page 87. And it was a commandment given to those who were present through Joseph Smith. And see, that commandment was, it was delivered in 1831 in Ohio to the church. It says, "Go ye forth into the western countries, call upon the inhabitants to repent, and inasmuch as they do repent, build up churches unto me. And with one heart and with one mind, gather up your riches, that ye may purchase an inheritance, which shall hereafter be appointed unto you, and it shall be called the New Jerusalem. A land of peace," hey, that's up on the board here, "a city of refuge," hey, there you go, you're hitting them right off, aren't you? "A place of safety for the saints of the Most High God, and the glory of the Lord shall be there." Well, so far we've got three. Somebody must have been reading those things when we were putting them up. And the terror of the Lord also shall be there, insomuch that the wicked will not come unto it. And it shall be called Zion. And it shall come to pass among the wicked that every man that will not take his sword against his neighbor must needs flee unto Zion for safety. And there shall be gathered unto it out of every nation under heaven. And it shall be the only people that shall be not be at war one with another. And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible. Wherefore, we cannot stand, and it shall come to pass that the righteous shall be gathered out from among all nations, and shall come to Zion singing with songs of everlasting joy. So what I'm reading here, and this occurred, like I said, in 1831. They were instructed. They were in Ohio at the time. They had gone from New York to Ohio. And now they were instructed to go into the western countries, which was actually right along the Mississippi River, which would have been Missouri. And you find in these revelations later on, you find that they identify Missouri as being a central gathering place, and you also find in the Book of Commandments, you find that Independence becomes even a more focal point for the designation of the building of the city of New Jerusalem, and that's where it would begin, is there. Now, there's some things that I read in here that I find it no different than when you read in the Book of Isaiah. Because in the sense that it spans a whole lot of time. Now, when this revelation was given to them, that was back in 1831, and they did in fact start to go, and they migrated to Missouri. But there are some things in here, is that they said, okay, that they may purchase an inheritance. Okay, they started to do that, didn't they? But they also did some other things that weren't so good. They didn't be mindful of all the commandments that they were given at that time, and they transgressed some of them, where they brought the wrath of the local people against them, where they were totally routed out of Missouri, and there were those who were killed in the process as well. So we find that this whole prophecy had not been fulfilled, and has not been fulfilled yet. There's still things to come. But it was started. Because we do have people and lands there in Missouri, in Independence, that we say the Lord is going to start here and he's going to build his city with the people that would come, that would be the saints of God and of the covenant people. So that has been begun. Now, because of all the things that occurred, was it something that maybe this is a false revelation? No, I don't believe that. I believe that there was things that man did that interjected themselves and cause those things not to be fulfilled at that time. It's no different when Joshua this morning, when we read about Joshua, that was in 1400 BC, he crossed the River Jordan on dry land, the whole house of Israel. But guess what? The temple of the Lord was not built until 500, started to be built 500 years later, 967 BC, was Solomon. The temple of the Lord began to be built. That was 500 years later. And why? Because they didn't follow the commandment of the Lord completely, and that took them that long to get to that point. Now, I'm not saying it's going to take 500 years for us, but I'm just drawing a parallel for you to help you to understand that. The other thing in here, it's a great description of what Zion, at least the physical thing that we call Zion, it gives a good description of what is going to be there for us. And something to attract our minds that we might want to be a part of. One of the things that I want to draw your attention to, and like I said, is a great parallel to when Israel crossed the River Jordan, is that you find here in this commandment, it said that in the 65th verse, it said, "And it shall be said among the wicked, let us not go up to battle against Zion, for the inhabitants of Zion are terrible." Now, that wasn't said by those who lived in Missouri, and when those who had the commandments started bragging about this was their land and they were going to occupy it, and the people there said, "I don't think so," and got angry and booted them out. Now, it's going to be a different scenario when the Lord works with the hearts of His children and establishes on His time frame that it's going to be again started where that New Jerusalem is going to be built. And when that occurs, it's going to be as significant as when Israel crossed the River Jordan. And I want to show you that in... let's go to, remember in Numbers, this morning we read in Numbers, in the 13th chapter, we find that the people who were living there at the time were, in the 13th chapter of Numbers, you know, from verses, 26 through 33, remember these spies that came, Moses sent out spies into the land of Canaan across the River Jordan, you know, to see, okay, scout out and see who's over there and let us know what's going on, because that's where we're going to go. And then when the spies came back, they said, oh boy, it has the milk and honey, and it talks about the grapes and all the stuff that they brought back and all the fruit of the land. But there's giants down there, and there's great cities down there, and that kind of put a fear in them. Now, the Lord said, that is yours, and you're going to have to take it. And the Lord gave them the land, Israel, the land of Canaan. And he told and instructed Israel what they were going to have to do to subdue it. But they hesitated. And so it wasn't until later on when you find that it was through Joshua, we read in, you find that that's when they crossed. Now in Joshua in the 4th chapter, we read this morning, when the priests, remember when they were commanded of the Lord to cross the River Jordan there, and the priests stepped there and the water subsided, and then they walked across dry land and they came across. And then when you go to the 5th chapter, listen to what it says there. Now remember in what I read in Numbers, it's the same people. It's the same people that the spies came back and said these were giants there, there's cities and these kinds of things that are going to be very difficult to occupy their lands. And here in the 5th chapter it says, "And it came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites, which were on the side of Jordan westward," that means after they crossed from the east to the west, the kings that were right there and was able to see Israel cross the River Jordan, "and all the kings of the Canaanites, which were by the sea, heard that the Lord had dried up the waters of Jordan from before the children of Israel until until we were passed over that their heart melted. I thought that was interesting. Neither was their spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. So after the children of Israel crossed across, they saw the power of God, those who, not only Israel, but those who they walked into their lands. Now, this is a big group of people that did this. And those people knew by what power gave them the ability to do that. And it's going to be no different. And that's the same thing in this commandment. It's going to be no different in the days that we're going to build up the New Jerusalem. It's going to be that significant. And they're not going to want to come against those who go there for that purpose. No different than when the house of Israel crossed the River Jordan for that same purpose, to build an inheritance that were given to them of God. Some of the things that we find in the commandment is, like, again, it says it identifies the New Jerusalem. Now, who is familiar with the scriptures? When you read the Bible in the Book of Mormon, okay, what does it tell you about New Jerusalem? If you're going to share your religion with others, and you say, well, there's going to be a New Jerusalem. All right. So, huh? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Well, I don't know how big the city is going to be. You're talking about where? It's talking about in Revelations in the 21st chapter or whatever. It talks about the size of the city. Is that what you're talking about? You know, when I was looking at that back there and I was reading those things, it really looked like it was talking about two different places. It was talking about the New Jerusalem that was going to be here in the Americas. And then it talks about the Jerusalem of old and the temple that was going to be reestablished, that was going to come from heaven and come down. Or, you know, that city, I'm sorry, the city of old Jerusalem that was going to come down. Kind of go along with the book of Ether in the 6th chapter. And I'm not saying that you're wrong. I'm not saying that. But I was surprised because when I read through that, it's like talking about two different places. It talked about the New Jerusalem, and then it talks about this city and temple that was seemed to be different than that. And I thought that was interesting. I believe that in the Book of Mormon, we've got scriptures in there you can find in the third book of Nephi, the 10th chapter. It tells you that, excuse me, it was going to be on the promised land, right? At least it's going to give you a target. It's going to be on the promised land. Here in verses 1 through 4, it says, "But behold, if they will repent," and that's speaking of the Gentiles, "and hearken unto my words, and harden not their hearts, I will establish my church among them, and they shall come in unto the covenant, and be numbered among this, the remnant of Jacob, unto whom I have given this land for their inheritance, and they shall assist my people, the remnant of Jacob. And also as many of the house of Israel shall come, that they may build a city which shall be called the New Jerusalem. And then shall they assist my people, that they may be gathered in, who are scattered upon the face of the land, in unto the New Jerusalem. And then shall the power of heaven come down among them, and I also will be in the midst of them. And then shall the work of the Father commence at that day, when this gospel shall be preached among the remnant of this people." So, you know, one of the things I see here is that it looks like at least the cornerstone of Zion is one, the New Jerusalem, and where it's located at. Now, quite frankly, you're not going to be able to identify anything other than this choice land, the Americas, as where this New Jerusalem is going to be in the Scripture. The only place that's going to identify it specifically is the revelation that was given through Joseph Smith to the church. That is the only place. And you find it in the Book of Commandments. There's no other place that says, well, it's going to be in Missouri. And, oh, by the way, in the city of Independence. You're not going to find that. But I think that's for a wise purpose. Because the Lord said when He gave him those commandments that really, that's something that until the time comes, you don't necessarily need to share that. Now you're saying, what? What do you mean by that? It's because the Lord knows that the world's not ready for that. Remember what it says in this, remember what it said in these verses of Scripture that I read out of the Book of Commandments. It said that the wicked was going to be it was going to be very obvious to the wicked that they're not going to want to go up against that city. Why? Because there are some things that's going to show them that you don't mess with these people because the Lord's with them. And really, we're not going to be able to substantiate our belief in that until the day comes when God is with us and everyone else sees it. Does that make sense? But what you can share with them is this choice land, that there is really, there is something more when you read in the Scriptures in the book of Isaiah and in Zechariah and throughout the Scriptures when it says in Micah, when it says in Zion, what? The law, and in Jerusalem, the Word of God. You're going to hear that from those two places. You know? There's more to that than what the Lord, than what the world would have you maybe think. That is that they think, well, that's just one place, and it's just reiterating itself, and that's not true. That's not true at all because the Scriptures support something different. That is actually looking at two different entities, Jerusalem and Zion, and sometimes that confuses. I know it confuses me. You know, but you need to understand that really there is two things. They are separate. Because there was the promises to Israel, the house of Israel, that all the world know. It's no secret. History is there. God was with Israel. And there was a lot of things that occurred, and it's history. And so when it says Jerusalem, it's talking about that history. All that stuff that the world knows. You don't have to doubt it. You don't have to wonder about it. It's Jerusalem. And that tie that you see there is just a small remnant of Israel that we know of, Benjamin and Judah, which is known as those that are in Jerusalem now. And all of the struggles and the things that go there, the world knows. That's Israel, is in Jerusalem. And I know of the Old Testament, a lot of times they interchange and they use the word Zion. Okay, the city of Zion, David, the city of Zion. And I understand that that can be confusing. But there's prophecies that would help you to understand that even though they use this as a descriptive thing concerning God in the Old Testament when they're relating to some of those things that deal with Jerusalem, there are very specific things that when they separate the two that are really talking about our day. And really, the foundation of what God is going to do for us in these last days has everything to do with Zion. The world is merely focusing on Jerusalem and everything that's going on over there and all the turmoil and everything, and it's becoming a thorn in the side of the world. And really, we should be saying hooray for our side because the world's focused on that. And we are focused on the promoting the cause of Zion. And so I want us to think about that because there are some things that we find in the book of Zechariah that really kind of opens up some thought. In Zechariah, in the first chapter, I find that Zechariah is no different in some things as to the book of Isaiah in the sense that a lot of times we draw parallels between things that occurred long time ago in Isaiah that actually did occur, but we find parallels of those things that are occurring today. And that's always the case, it seems like. Just like I pointed out to you, like in the days of Joshua and crossing the Jordan, we have a similar thing concerning that what's going to happen for the New Jerusalem. Okay, here in Zechariah, in the first chapter, in the 17th verse, we find these words. Now Zechariah was prophesying. This was 520 BC, and they were trying. They had already. Let me see. I think they had already come back to Jerusalem, and this was after the days of Nehemiah, and they had. I think Nehemiah and them. They came back in like 560 BC, and so it was like 20 or 40 years that after Nehemiah and them had set up reestablishing the law among the house of Israel, and then they had fallen away. And part of this has to do with Israel falling away from the law again after it was reestablished amongst them. But here in the 17th verse it says, "Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion." Now, you know, that's an interesting verse of Scripture that that when I considered that, I didn't fully understand it. And I had to look at a couple of the words there. And then I had to think on those terms of how this would apply to us in the establishment of Zion and how that all kind of rolls together. Now, if you notice in the second chapter, well, you probably don't notice, I got my Bibles all scribbled up, but in the second chapter, it talks about in the 10th verse, it says, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee." Think about that. Many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day. Now, the only time that I see that described is what we read in the 10th chapter, 3rd book of Nephi, you know, in the gathering there, where you find those who are going to assist. There's going to be the strangers, which are the Gentiles, and the covenant people of the Lord, those entities that were going to be here. But anyhow, here in the 17th verse, you find that the word prosperity. Now, I looked that up, and if you were to rewrite that verse of Scripture with the definition put in there for prosperity, it would sound something like this: "My cities, who are of the good, and the fair, and the lovely, and the favored men and women, shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem." Now, when you think of it on those terms, it goes, wow, that separates it even more. Because it says, because it's linking the spread abroad shall comfort Zion. So it's linking those together and shall yet choose Jerusalem, which separates those two even more so. And so you're saying, oh, geez, I can't follow you, Gordon. You're not making a whole lot of sense. Let's go over in 1 Nephi. Third chapter. And let's see what it has to say here. And this should be familiar with you. On page 40. Here on page 40, you find that it talks about, let's see, in verse 226. "And it came to pass that I beheld the church of the Lamb of God, and its numbers were few, because of the wickedness and the abomination of the whore who sat upon many waters. Nevertheless, I beheld that the church of the Lamb, who were the saints of God, were also upon all the face of the earth, and their dominions upon the face of the earth were small because of the wickedness of the great whore whom I saw." Then drop down to 30 and says, let me read 29 too. "And it came to pass that I beheld that the great mother abomination did gather together and multitudes upon the face of the earth among all the nations of the Gentiles to fight against the Lamb of God. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, beheld the power of the Lamb of God that had descended upon the saints of the church of the Lamb and upon the covenant people of the Lord who were scattered upon the face of the earth. And they were armed with righteousness and with power of God in great glory." All right. So you're saying, well, how does that all work? Well, this is telling you that the saints of God and the covenant people are going to be scattered all over the world. And here in Zechariah, it says, cry yet, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, my cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad. Goes right along with that, doesn't it? And the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. He's comforting them. And so it is with our people that are espousing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They are those, like if you read the way I wrote it, my cities who are of the good, the fair, the lovely, the favored men and women shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion. They are actually, it is saying that they are Zion. So that means our brothers and sisters in Yucatan, our brothers and sisters in Honduras, our brothers and sisters in Africa and the Philippines, that's who they're talking about here in Zechariah. And they are part of Zion in these last days. And that's why it says, sing and rejoice in the 10th verse in the 2nd chapter, O daughter of Zion. And really, that is identifying, Zechariah the 17th chapter is identifying the daughter or daughters. You see it in plural a lot of time because they're spread abroad. For lo, I come and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day and shall be my people. And I will dwell in the midst of thee. So as we think about Zion, we have scriptures within in the Bible that points that Zion in one of its definitions is those groups of people who espouse and put themselves, align themselves with Jesus Christ in the last days, in the Church of the Lamb of God, who become part of that, who are identified as the saints. And then we find that then it talks about and shall yet choose Jerusalem. The Lord has said, He said, I want you to think about this because this is important too. Let me just go to it. It's in Ezekiel, the 36th chapter. Let me see, where is it? Okay. The 36th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, therefore say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And speaking of preserving Israel, for I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Will I cleanse you? A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And the 28th verse says, 27. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And every time you see when those two things are connected, and it says Jerusalem, you think about that promise, what I just read here. It says, I do not this for your sake, Jerusalem, O house of Israel, but for my own holy name's sake. God is identifying that He chose Israel, and He's going to do it. And no matter what is taking place, He said He's chastened them. For a little while, He chastened them, but with great mercies, He's going to bring them back into His fold. He hasn't forgot them. And that's why they separate those Zion and Jerusalem, because of these statements that are you find in the Old Testament, where God has chosen Israel, and Jerusalem is that focal point. Okay, where am I? Does some of those things that I've said make sense to you? Kinda? All right. So when we're thinking about this, it's a condition of righteousness, a pure heart. You're right. It does. We have to be on our guard, just like what our brother read to us this morning of the 10 virgins. You know, he made this statement. He said, you know, that that he believed that those were the members of the Church of the Lamb of God. And half of them entered into the kingdom, and the other half was left on the opposite side of the door. And there are confirmations of that even in the Book of Commandments that would support what he said this morning. And it was speaking to Sidney Rigdon at the time. He was being chastened. And it had to do with this very thing, Zion, and what he was supposed to do, and he didn't do it. And the Lord chastened him, and later he was taken out of the church. But what we have here is that we in the last. Well, let's go over to. Let's see here. The seventh chapter of 2 Nephi. Is that the one I want? No. Third chapter. 1 Nephi 1. It really starts with the Gentiles. It's on page 37. Here in verse 185, it says, "And after thy seed shall be destroyed and dwindle in unbelief, and also the seed of thy brethren, behold, these things shall be hid up to come forth unto the Gentiles by the gift and the power of the Lamb. And in them shall be written my gospel, saith the Lamb, my rock and my salvation. And blessed are they who shall seek to bring forth my Zion at that day, for they shall have the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. And if they endure," and this is what Brother Bill was speaking of this morning, "unto the end they shall be lifted up at the last day and shall be saved in the everlasting kingdom of the Lamb." Really, the focus and the foundation we find in the Book of Ether, it talks about, in the first chapter of the Book of Ether, it says when the waters receded off of the land after the flood of Noah, it said this land that we live on was a choice land. It was chosen of God at that time. It was going to be a choice land. Then in the sixth chapter, we find that it identifies that it was going to be the place for the New Jerusalem, where Zion was going to have its foundation. And really, when we look at it in the third Nephi in the 10th chapter, it is really the cornerstone of the work that God is trying to do in these last days. The restoring of Israel, the covenant that would be with Joseph that came down through here, it is the cornerstone. It is what's going to, which is described here in that the power of God is going to descend upon, the power that and that is going to cause them to come and focus into that place. Now I know all of you who have read through the Book of Commandment, there are things in there that are disturbing, because there are things that they were commanded to do that they didn't do or didn't accomplish, and it didn't happen, and so it puts doubt. And it causes doubt. And it causes you to wonder, well, are those covenants or are those prophecies or those things, those revealments that were given through Joseph, were they false? And should I just throw them away? Well, if you do that, then where are you going to put Zion? Are you going to throw it over there in Jerusalem? There's too many things, especially in the Book of Mormon, that says that you can't do that. You know? But that's why I want to, that's why I said maybe those are some things that you need to reconcile in your heart and mind, pray about, that you might understand why, and the Lord would help you to understand that. But I want you to understand that there will be a day when the Lord will say, I want this city to start. And we'll all know it. I mean, those who are close to the Lord will know it. And they will know the presence of God when he says that. I guess some of the confusion is where it said here that we are to purchase those lands. Because when you read in there, it talks about that it's either going to be through purchase or through blood. And he said, it better not be through blood, because you're not to spill blood, innocent blood. He says, what is Caesar's, render to Caesar's. So is it incumbent upon me to buy some land there? I don't know. I haven't been in my heart, I haven't been told to do that, but it's something to think about and pray about. You know, it really is. It's something in these last days. It's going to happen. You know, maybe it'll be, since it got all goofed up in the beginning, maybe it'll be because of some catastrophe that comes upon the Americas that opens up the door that we can go in and occupy some of that land legally without a whole lot of problem. I guess that's a simplistic way to think about it. But maybe that's it. Maybe it isn't. So what is our responsibility? I want you to understand that it's very plain in the Scriptures, especially in the third book, 1 Nephi, the third chapter, that all of those entities, all the that where Brother Jay goes and Brother, excuse me, Brian and all the other ones who are going out and Brother Fan and Mike, all of them, they're going out. That work is opening up and it's fulfilling this. Because in Matthew and in Mark, in the last verses of the chapter, the Lord said, go out and preach what? Yeah, repentance and baptism and in my name, to be a witness and to teach those things. And we have that truth. See, there's that cornerstone. What took place back here in 1830 was the foundation for us to what? Do this. To become Zion. To be part of Zion. The cause of Zion. And it's because of the truth that we hold in our hands. What I just read there in chapters 180, chapter 3, on page 37, you know, that we were going to have that. And then the promise is that we're going to have that gift with us. And God has opened up in these last days, has opened that up and prepared the hearts that this truth would be receptive and received of them. And so it is the beginnings of that. So we see that. And it's being fulfilled. But then there's other things that is going to have to happen, that we may need to be thinking about and praying about, as to how, you know, what is our role and what are we responsible for concerning that? Excuse me. Well, where am I here? In the Book of Commandments, there's a couple of verses of Scripture I want to read to you for a closing verse of Scripture. It's on page 11. There's a lot of places in the Book of Commandments. There's like, well, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It talks about the cause of Zion. And these were given in May and June of 1829, so it was just before the Book of Mormon was actually printed, but it seemed to be right in the middle. It was a middle time between once they finished translating that work and turned it over to the printer. There were those who were a part of that understood the words there, and they were starting to feel like, man, I got to do something. You know, they felt the urge. I got to preach this. I got to share this, you know. And the Lord was trying to, whoa, you know, kind of hold them back a little bit until the book was printed and they got established in 1830. And so you find there was different ones when you read in the Book of Commandments that was really desiring to do that work. And the Lord, it was acknowledging that and said, just kind of wait and you'll be able to do it. But here in the page 11, it's the fifth chapter of the Book of Commandments, and there's verse 3 and 16. It says, behold, the field is white, all ready to harvest. Therefore, whoso desires to reap, let him thrust in his sickle with his might and reap while the day lasts, that he may treasure up for his soul everlasting salvation in the kingdom of God. Yea, whosoever will thrust in his sickle and reap, the same is called of God. Therefore, if you will ask of me, ye shall receive. If you will knock, it shall be opened unto you. That was the second verse. I'm sorry. Well, here's the third verse. Now, as you have asked, behold, I say unto you, keep my commandments and seek to bring forth and establish the cause of Zion. That's our responsibility. To seek to bring forth and to establish the cause of Zion. And the cause of Zion is bringing the truth to the world and the restoration of the house of Israel. That's the cause of Zion. And establish the cause of Zion. Seek not for riches, but for wisdom. And behold, the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto you. And then shall you be made rich. Behold, he that hath eternal life is rich. Then the 16th verse. It says, therefore, fear not, little flock. Do good. Let earth and hell combine against you. For if ye are built upon my rock, they cannot prevail. Behold, I do not condemn you. Go your ways and sin no more. Perform with soberness the work which I have commanded you. Look unto me in every thought. Doubt not, fear not. Behold the wounds which hath pierced my side, and also the prints of the nails in my hands and my feet. Be faithful, keep my commandments, and ye shall inherit the kingdom of heaven. Amen. I find that a very comforting thing, and something that I need to do is to focus on those things that the Lord was pointing out there. Zion. I hope and pray that this has kind of kindled some thinking in your mind, that maybe you might want to put some things together, so that if someone says, what do you mean you believe in Zion, that you have something in mind to be able to present them. I do suggest that you don't get tangled up in the revelations that came later, because that's what will happen. You'll get tangled up. Does it mean that they were not right? No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the Lord said that those were to be for you and your understanding, and that he would make it very plain to the world when he says, come across that Jordan and build my city. You're not going to have anyone wanting to stand in your way, because God's going to be there, just like he was with the house of Israel. And they stepped aside and let them do their thing. Okay? May God bless you in your studies and the things that you're sharing with others.
Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., there will be a prayer service here. Sunday at 9:45, Sunday school. At 11 o'clock, preaching service with our brother Jim Yates, Jr. 3:30, choir. 5:30, song service. 6 p.m. next Sunday will be a Christmas play. Remember the donations for the welfare committee to Melanie, Rebecca, Michelle, or John. And remember the sign-up sheet in the back for the volunteer Christmas program on December 25th. I don't see a number here for our closing song. 36. Oh, yes, I do. There it is.
Bill.
Yes.
We have play rehearsal tonight after church, so we're asking everyone to leave the chapel as quickly as possible. We'll draft you to be in the play with us.
Okay, I think that'll work.
Thank you.
Number 36. Let's stand and sing, please. heads with me. Our dear Father, we thank you for the time spent here this evening and for the words that were brought to us. We pray that we might put to use in our lives those things that were brought to us, that we'd remember them and that we would study them. And we pray for opportunities that we might be able to share with others this beautiful gospel story. We pray, Father, as we go our separate ways, that thy Spirit would be with us to guide us and direct us throughout this week until we can meet again in thy name. We do ask and pray these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen.